This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's good to have today my guest here, Leroy Young, author Leroy Young, and also my friend Chuck Bowman. Leroy Young has released a book called Who's the Greatest College Football Program of All Time? And I read this book several weeks ago, and it's quite intriguing. And he spent much of the last 2 years researching 147 years of college football using 32 different systems that would help him determine which program was the very best. And he's definitely done his homework. I've never read a book like this. Being a sports fan since I was 5 years old, I was very interested. In fact, I've been an Oklahoma University football fan since I was 5 years old. And today it's good to have also on BPN Radio Coach Chuck Bowman, who at one time played for Oklahoma University and was an assistant coach. And he played under Coach Bud Wilkinson. He later became a player there and later became an assistant coach. And then went on to win a national championship at Northeastern University there in Miami, Oklahoma. And he's also was a director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for many years. So it's good to have on with me today Leroy Young and Coach Chuck Bowman. Good to have both of you on today.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, and boy, I've got two football geniuses on with me today, and I've been a sports fan for a long time. I've been a statistician, or I've been interested in stats for a long time. Leroy, you live in Dayton, Ohio, and tell us about how the book came about.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dale. I greatly appreciate it. You got a great show, and I'm excited to be with you. Yeah, I live in Dayton, Ohio. A couple years ago, as everybody knows, we had the first ever college football playoff, and I was at my dad's house, as I normally, that's my spot where I normally watch some of the big games, you know, NFL, college, pro, whatever it might be. And so after the game, you know, I just was reflecting, and I was like, for the first time in a while, we have a true national champion. Ohio State played Oregon in the first ever college football playoff. And I know it's not an 8-team or a 16-team playoff, but, you know, a thought hit my mind. I was like, now that we have a somewhat true national champion, what, you know, who could make the claim the greatest college football program of all time? So I got curious, and so later on that night, I just, you know, got home. I just began to, my research began. And so I started looking at things like, you know, titles and wins and winning percentage and all the things we like to talk about as fans. And the next thing I know, Dale, that process consumed me. It consumed me so much that a month later, my wife and I, we were on vacation and we were laying on the beach, and there I was going at it again. I had found some fascinating stat. A stat that I was, you know, boring her to death with. And she just kind of leaned over to me. She's like, Leroy, you know, you should just write a book. This is all you ever talk about. And for like 20 minutes, I literally had chills all over my body. I was pacing on the beach. You should have seen me back and forth. And I was just like, that was my inspirational moment. I said, you know what? She's right. I'm supposed to write a book, and here I go. I'm going to give it a shot and write a book. That's how it started.
Wow. And so you started doing research, first of all. Or did you already have some research?
No, I mean, I'm a college football fan, so I obviously knew, you know, some of the stats, you know, some of the titles and wins and different things like that. But as I began to, what was so fascinating is I couldn't believe some of the things that I had discovered, mainly about the history of the game, mm-hmm. how it began, mm-hmm. the rules that were in place, how teams were recognized as champions, and process.
Hey, Leroy, give us a little background. I mean, you go all the way back to 18-something, right?
Yes, 1869, college football game was played between Harvard and Yale.
And give us two or three unusual rules that they had back then.
Yeah, at that time, when college football first began, there were 25 players on both sides of the football.
Wow.
And then it went... And the field was a little bit longer, a little bit wider, so it was a different, you know, dimensions of the football field. The players went from 25 down to 15, and then 15 down to 11. And check this out: for years, college football didn't even have a quarterback.
Wow.
So when the quarterback position was implemented, the quarterback was not allowed to throw the football. So when the quarterback was allowed to throw the football, if the receiver dropped it, it was a penalty.
Okay.
Can you imagine that nowadays? How many penalties there would be?
So when were major changes made that pointed us in the direction we're going today?
Great question. The most significant change was in 1904. That's when President Roosevelt basically issued almost an executive order where he basically told college football, if you don't clean up the game and make it safe, I'm going to shut college football down in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reasoning behind that for the president was, at that time, there were 18 known deaths, and there were hundreds of significant injuries as a result of football.
So were they wearing helmets at that time?
No. What happened is a committee, you got to love a committee basically was formed from that declaration from the president to make the game safer, and from that committee gave birth to the NCAA.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago, over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, how did you begin to obtain this information to determine who the greatest college football program of all time was? What marks did you use? What information did you use? How did you obtain that?
Yeah, it was, well, that's why it was a 2-year journey for me. my bibliography is over 50 pages long.
Wow.
And that's where my passion or my desire grew into passion, and it consumed me, is because I wanted to know. I just got consumed with it. Who can make that claim? So I've got to find out the facts. So I searched online. I have spoken to the NCAA, I have spoken to the NFL, I've spoken to almost every Ivy League school that's out there. I've personally been to the College Football Hall of Fame, and I actually enjoyed that. That was fascinating. I love that trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to all the entities that are out there to, you know, gather as much information as I could, and then obviously just read every article I could. I went online, and so really my wife inspired me to write the book,
mm-hmm.
and then when the book is now over, I've written it, she told me that I'm not allowed to write another book because it consumed my life.
Well, I'm glad that you wrote a book, and just as a side note, we need to encourage people out there to write more books. A lot of people say, I'd like to write a book. Well, why not? But it does take time. I remember the last book I wrote, I took a whole month off, day and night, and compared to you, that was not very long. But I set my schedule aside, and I wrote sometimes throughout the night. And when the sun came up, I was still writing. So, you know, it's an adventure, and it's something that will have a lasting mark, not only on our generation, but generations to come. Hey, Leroy, before we go any further, let's go ahead. You know, I know there's a lot of people who's probably listening today saying, oh, he's just going to give an opinion. But you have done your research, and you've come up with the number one, the greatest team. We're not going to reveal that for a little while. In fact, we're even going to let Coach Chuck Bowman take a shot at it. But why don't you name, let's start with number 10 through number 6. Let's go down, all right?
Okay, fantastic.
I love top 10, so here we go.
Yeah, here's the top 10. Number 10, LSU. Number 9, Nebraska. Number 8, Florida State. Number 7, Texas.
Oh, my.
Number 6, Michigan.
Now, that's not going to set well. That's not going to set well here in Longhorn country. Of course, I'm not a Longhorn fan, but I live amongst them, and I've had to get used to burnt orange everywhere. So them being not in the top five is not going to set well, but I know you did your research, and you can make a great case. Chuck, what do you think? And Chuck Bowman, what do you think about number 10 through 6? Is any of those a surprise to you?
Well, no, no surprises. I agree, though. Texas has... you know, they certainly have made their mark, but so has Nebraska and LSU, my goodness. But go on, Leroy, and reveal the next.
Okay, we don't want to reveal.
You haven't said the magic word yet.
Give us a little bit of information how you determine this, because I mean, we could talk for hours, Leroy, but... before we name number 5 and then go to the top 4, because the final 4, I know you put a lot of emphasis. So how did you come to this determination, just giving us a broad spectrum here?
Yeah, great question, Dale. What I wanted to do, or my challenge was, is what could I use to take samples from the history? I mean, it was 147 years, you know. And the reason I wanted to take segments, if you will, or samples, what were the landmarkers? Because a championship in 1902 is totally different than a championship in 2002. Mm-hmm. In my book, there was one year where Harvard was 1-0, Princeton was 2-0, Yale was 3-0, and they were all national champions that year.
They played one game and won the national championship.
Yeah, it was the wild, wild west of recognizing there were multiple selectors and selecting a champion each year. So, mm-hmm. And you know, and hats off to all those teams that won those championships. That's just the way that it was. But it just – so, like, if we're going to crown the greatest of all time, then let's just give it to Princeton. Princeton has 26 national championships.
Wow. Wow.
But they're not major. They're not major anymore. And by the way, they won most of their championships in the early era of college football. So it's not fair to give them the award, mm-hmm. and because they're not relevant now. So long story short, I chose 1869 as a landmarker. I mm-hmm. also chose 1936 as a landmarker because that's when the AP poll was birthed. And mm-hmm. the AP poll, as everybody, most people will know, that was the main selector in determining a champion since 1936. Then I chose the year 1950, which was also when the coaches poll came out. But most experts will agree that 1950 is really the birth of modern football that we have now. And then I chose the year 2000, and then obviously the year college football playoff era began. So what I did is I asked several questions. How many championships do you have since 1869, since 1936, since 1950, since 2000, and then obviously in the playoff era? And then I said, how many wins? What's your winning percentage in those landmarkers? And then I looked at other things, like all the things that we love to argue about as fans. Any fan can pull out their top five metrics and say, we're the greatest because of these five metrics. And then if I don't like your team, I could say, oh, yeah, well, your team's really not that good because you're pretty terrible in these five metrics. So what I did is I found all these metrics and I measured these teams. So, like, how many Heisman trophies does your program have? How many players have you sent to the NFL? How many All-Americans do you have? How many players and coaches do you have in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Wow.
I threw in the NFL Hall of Fame. I even did graduation rates. I did a presentation this morning at our local Rotary Club. And I was telling them, someone asked, hey, did you measure graduation rates? Yes. Because what we do as fans is we say, yeah, your program's great, but your program doesn't graduate anyone. So guess what? I called the NCAA and I said, hey, I need a search engine that can help provide this. And they told me, they're like, Leroy, we just completed that. They sent me an email. They told me where to go with some instructions, and I can pull up whatever program, whatever sport, and I can tell you their graduation rate. So I measure that. So just all the things that we like to talk about and argue about, good or bad for each program, let's find out what the results are and determine a winner.
Well, I was amazed when I read your book. I thought it was just going to be a story, but it actually was stats, the metrics, and how you determine. I think very few people would argue with you after they have read your book concerning who's the greatest of football, college football program of all time. And we're going to reveal. Hey, can we? Can you name the five and don't name them in any certain order? And then I'm going to see if Chuck Bowman, if he can take a shot at it. Can you give us the top five? Or maybe give us number five, and then we'll scramble the four.
Okay, yeah, since we're in the college football playoff era now, and we've got the, you know, who's going to make the top four each year. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So I'll give you number five, and then I'll scramble. Number five is USC.
Okay, Southern California.
And, yeah, one of the things that stood out to me about them is they consistently put players into the NFL. I mean, it's year in, year out, whether the program is up, the program is down. It doesn't matter. If you just want to go to the NFL, go to USC.
What was their what was their weakness that kept them out of the top four?
Their consistency of winning percentage. Okay, the first program that jumped off the page in all of my metrics, and I'll get into the top four here, one of those programs was Alabama. Because they jumped off the page because I said, oh, wow. Look at all their championships that they've won, and most of those are in the modern era. Wow, hats off to Alabama. But then Alabama did not have a high school winner until the year 2009, and I was surprised by that. I was like, wow, this is an historic program. Up and until they had Mark Ingram as their first ever Heisman Trophy winner was their first one. So I was like, so then I saw – Alabama with the titles, I saw USC and NFL, but they both lack consistency in some of the metrics. Like they'd be number one, number two, number four in comparison to the others, but then they'd be 29th, 15th. And so I looked for a program that had the, what team or program was the most consistent, you know, that's decade in, decade out, they're in the conversation and all these metrics. And, that helped determine us. But my top four, in no particular order, I've mentioned Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. So go Sooners. They made the top four.
Somebody, we got some background noise somewhere. One of you guys are throwing plates. And you got to quit throwing those plates. So I'm going to give Coach Chuck Bowman, I'm going to give him a shot at it because the top, name the top four again and in no certain order, Leroy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Ohio State are the top four.
What do you think, Coach Chuck Bowman? Who, take a guess.
Notre Dame.
You're going to say Notre Dame.
I mean, that's just That's okay. Just how we probably look at it out here in Oklahoma. You know, Notre Dame back in the Newt Rockne days and even before, they set the bar for football.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't mention football without mentioning Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've had national championships since, and I still think you kind of measure yourself by Notre Dame. Now, lately, you know, you don't have to go through Notre Dame to win the national championship. You've got to go through Alabama, maybe uh-huh. Clemson now.
Uh-huh.
And so they're all great teams. There's not one of those teams that you've mentioned that have not had great football programs. Mm-hmm. They, you know, when you name the state, you don't think of the countryside. You think of their football team.
That's true.
Unless it's Kansas and Kentucky. They're all basketball schools.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Chuck Bowman, were you playing when Notre Dame ended the OU 49-game winning streak?
That was my senior year.
Wow. How did that feel? What was your position on the team?
I was a center linebacker. We played both ways in those days.
Yeah, I remember.
And, that's the only ball game we lost in my 4 years at Oklahoma. We won the national championship in 55 and 56. Mm-hmm. The 56 team was the team that Coach Wilkerson said was the best football team he ever coached. It had Tommy McDonald and Clendon Thomas, just, you know, guys that went on and had great pro careers. Jerry Tubbs was he and Tommy were in the Heisman. They knocked off. In fact, they knocked each other off of the Heisman Trophy when Paul Hornung won it, and we beat Notre Dame 40-0 in South Bend. Paul Hornung senior year. I don't know that Notre Dame won four ball games that year.
He was still
a Heisman Trophy guy.
Yeah. How did it feel? What was the locker room atmosphere when you guys had your 49-game winning streak? What happened when Coach Bud Wilkerson came in? What were the players saying? Mm-hmm. What was he saying? I mean, that's still a memorable day, and I'm sure that probably Leroy can concur, a memorable day in the history of college football when Oklahoma finally got beat. It was like the Connecticut girls this year finally having their winning streak broken. So what was the atmosphere? What did Coach Wilkerson say?
Well, let me just preface with this. The day was cloudy, a mid-November day, cloudy, not cold, but just kind of a dreary day.
I remember the day.
And the stands were packed. There was 50,000 people. That's the number of people that could sit in Nolan Field
mm-hmm.
during those days. And I bet I've had 100,000 come up and tell me that they were there. <It's
not funny. laughs> Yeah.
But at any rate, we could not score. I mean, it was just one of those defensive battles. Notre Dame was not a great football team. I think that year they might have won four, only five games. They did not have one single great player. They just, you know, were determined to beat Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
after that 47-game winning streak or mm-hmm. after that 40-0 mm-hmm. loss they took in South Bend the year before.
Uh-huh.
In fact, there was a great story that Coach Wilkerson told us in that when he left the Notre Dame locker room after he went over to congratulate Terry Brennan, their young head coach,
mm-hmm.
As he was leaving the locker room, Coach Brennan came up to him and said, "Coach, I need to tell you a little story that happened. And that maybe it may have been the result of this day. When you came to Notre Dame and beat us 40-0, after our locker room discussion, one of the players went to the chalkboard, took a piece of chalk and put on the chalkboard 364 days to the Oklahoma game."
Wow.
And every day a coach, a player, a trainer, a manager would go to that chalkboard and remove that one less day.
Mm.
So for 364 days, they planned to come to Oklahoma and beat Oklahoma. And Coach Wilkerson came in our locker room. Of course, we got off the field fairly fast. But as was normal, we didn't take off our gear till Coach Wilkerson came in and had his say.
Mm-hmm.
So we must have been waiting 5 or 10 minutes longer than normal. because we were kind of getting restless, and we didn't know what the holdup was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he finally comes in, and he says, I want you to know that this has been a very difficult thing for all Oklahomans. He said, we have just never experienced anything like this. But he says, and the thing that really he made a point of is I feel sorry for you seniors, because had this game not been lost, you would have been the only team in the history of football to win three national championships back-to-back. And, of course, that was speaking to 16 of us that were seniors in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that didn't really set with us until years later.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started my coaching career, you know, people would say, hey, you played on that team Notre Dame beat, didn't you? They never talked about those other games.
They just talk about that one game.
Yeah, and Coach Wilkson said that very thing. He mm-hmm. told us in the locker room, he says, people won't ask you about all the great games you played and all those victories. They'll always ask you about mm-hmm. this game.
Wow.
And he was true. He was just nailed it on every issue. But I have to believe, and I've heard other players say that Bud Wilkinson is probably the only genius that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
He was a genius not only in football, but he was a genius in his education, his experience. You know, he was in World War II, he was in the yeah. Navy, almost yeah. killed in a battleship fight, mm-hmm. and he was just a phenomenal man.
Yeah, he was.
Everyone wanted to be like him.
He was highly respected. He should have been a governor, United States senator from Oklahoma, but
no question, he just jumped on the wrong side of the political fence.
The,
you know,
at the wrong
he changed
time.
His politics from yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And Chuck, I was you know, I remembered even from a youngster your name playing for Oklahoma University. And here I am interviewing you on BPN radio. But I was listening, as I did to all of the Oklahoma games. I was listening to the game that day and remember how sad I felt. Leroy, that had to be one of the biggest or greatest upsets, or one of the greatest college games of all times. Are there other games that might be comparable to that one that you reviewed?
Well, I was just sitting here listening to Chuck talk, and I'm like, let him just keep talking and tell let him just tell the story. He needs to write a book already. Write a couple.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think it'd be fun for people to consider. It took some time for us to take our gear off and you know, wipe the tears away, so to speak, and take our showers and get dressed. And when I'm walking and all of our team, we're walking out of the locker room to head over to our dining room to have dinner. The people were still in the stands.
Wow.
No one had left.
Wow.
And it was like a great funeral had just taken place. It was just that desperate. But here was the funny thing. All across that stadium, the only people standing were Catholic priests, and they were everywhere. Mm. And they were jumping up and down and shouting like and you could spot them because they had their black outfits on with their little white collars.
You knew where they were.
They just stood out like
you knew they were from Indiana.
And I'm walking across with Clendon Thomas. Clendon was my roommate, and I said, Clendon, look at those crazy people standing up there. Who are they? What are they doing? He looked at me. Those guys are from every Catholic church in Oklahoma. They've come to celebrate this game. We talked about that a long time, boy.
Wow.
There were not too many people happy in that stadium that day, but boy, all the Catholics
wow.
were.
What an amazing story! And Leroy, is there other games that were comparable to that game in 1957 in the college scene? And I'm not necessarily talking about a championship game. The last couple of years or so, although man, we've had some great ones. But down through the history of time, what would be comparable to the OU Notre Dame game of 1950. Was that 57?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What do you think, Leroy?
I mean, there's so many. You think about those games, and you think about the moment that Chuck is sharing about in his story. This is why we love college football.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we tune in every Saturday, because you know an unranked Notre Dame team can rally the troops, if you will, and can beat the greatest team that year.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Or in the last 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And Notre Dame comes back after getting beat. You know, was I think it's 49-0, and it's just that
40-0.
Thank you for correcting me.
That's all right. Don't want a statistician have a wrong stat.
That's good. Hey, Leroy, what other major, as you did your research, what are two or three others besides the Notre Dame upset of Oklahoma University there in 1957? What two or three other upsets would you consider the greatest college football upsets of all time? You thought about that one?
No, there's just a few. I mean, I think more of the recent ones. Think about, was it Nebraska and Miami, and Coach Osborne went for two. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just got to be the
best call
of all time, to just say, we're gonna go for it, and then they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the Auburn. The kick six, you know, recently. Nick Saban, you know, got 1 second. Let's give our field goal kicker a try to kick. I believe it was a 54-yard field goal. And the guy ran it all the way back. I was with an Auburn fan this morning, and I'm sure he appreciates hearing that. But, I just love college football. This season, you had Alabama and Clemson. I literally was standing on a chair in my living room watching Clemson come back in the last couple minutes against Alabama. That
phenomenal game.
So fun.
That set a bar.
Hey,
listen, I want to tell you one funny story that kind of goes along with this. You know, Paul Hornung was one of the superstars of college and professional football, no question.
Mm-hmm.
And our center in 1956 was Jerry Tubbs. He was, of course, Outland Trophy guy. Coach with Tom Landry at the Dallas Cowboys for 21 years and all that good stuff. Those two guys were two of the superstars of college football.
Yeah.
Well, they go to the All-Star game after their senior years, and Paul comes up to Jerry, and Jerry had just beat him up in that Oklahoma Notre Dame game that year, just beat him up, almost knocked him out first play of the game.
Yeah.
But Paul comes up to Jerry and he says, "Jerry, I'd like to punt. I'd like to practice my punting, and I need someone to snap the ball back. Can you do that?" So Jerry says, "Well, okay." So they go out. This was before practice, the All-Star team, and Jerry can't get the ball back to him. I mean, he's not a good snapper in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and they just. Ball comes in low, goes over high, and Paul comes up to him. He says, "Tubbs, I thought you were a center on this football team, and why can't you snap these ball back like that?" And Jerry's remark was, "Well, we didn't punt much."
That is good. That is good.
And that ended that conversation.
Wow!
Oh,
y'all have amazing. Chuck Bowman, you have amazing stories to tell, and of course, Leroy Young, you have great stats. You guys need to maybe collaborate on a book if your wife would be willing for you to write one more, Leroy. Y'all might do some
As long as we get permission from the wives.
Get permission from the wives. Yeah. Hey, before we run out of time, because we want to pray, we've got a few minutes left. We want to pray, but. Let's go down to the top four, the final four, and Chuck Bowman has made his prediction. There's a guy that works with me here at BPN Radio. I asked him yesterday because he hadn't read the book yet, and he chose Notre Dame. So let's go to the top four, and maybe in the next 5 minutes, Leroy, go down from 4, 3, 2, 1, and why these teams – ranked in this particular order. So you can go for it. All right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number four.
Number four is Oklahoma. Oklahoma Sooners. They're in almost every category. They're in the conversation. They've got titles. They've got Heismans. They've got wins. They've got winning percentage.
Not too many professionals. We don't have very many professionals, like compared to the others.
Okay, yeah. Was that a weak point for the Sooners?
Short, probably.
They did decent. They did decent there, but it wasn't like in the top. The top five as far as sending players to the NFL in the first round in the Hall of Fame. But what was interesting is, as my book was concluding in like September, October, I had my book done last year, but really didn't get it published till December. So between September and December, the Associated Press, one of those landmarkers that I mentioned, they just so happened to come out with the top 100 programs of all time. And I was a little disappointed. I was like, they're going to steal my thunder. No one's even heard about my book yet. And someone's going to think I'm just copying their information. And, but the Associated Press came up with the top 100. They have the same top five.
Wow. That is amazing, yeah. Leroy.
Yeah. Okay. And then when my book was, so that got me to looking for other sources, and I found multiple other researches or studies that were done that have come to very similar conclusions as I. Mm-hmm. They just don't. Most of those just use the 5 to 7 metrics that we all like to, the main ones. Mm-hmm. And I've got 32. So number four was Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Number three.
Number three, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish.
Wow.
And Chuck was right that they were the standard. It was Notre Dame. They were on TV. I mean, they're an independent program, but they were the king of college football. I mean, they were the standard. They were the team. They have the coaches. They have the players. They have coaches and players into the College Football Hall of Fame. They have coaches and players into the NFL, the NFL Hall of Fame. I believe Notre Dame is second all time. Mm-hmm. In sending players to the NFL, only behind USC.
What was their weakness? What kept them out of number one?
I would just say it was, I don't know. I have to look, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You're really just splitting hairs at this point.
Okay. All right. And then number three.
Number three was Notre Dame.
Number two, I mean.
Number two, Alabama.
Wow.
As I mentioned,
I'm sure there's
them,
a lot of.
What stood out for me.
There's a lot of Tide fans are upset right now.
For them, they've got the titles. Mm-hmm. They're right now, okay, with Nick Saban, they're sending players to the NFL. They are in the NFL conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
And historically they've done it, but compared to the others, they're a little weaker in that argument, if mm-hmm. you will.
Mm-hmm.
They're still sent a ton, but they're not at the top all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the tops now, currently, because of what Nick Saban is doing. But what was fascinating is Alabama has coaches where they've won, obviously, the championships. But what separated the number one team from the number two team was really just the consistency in all metrics.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, number one is Ohio State.
Okay.
And the Associated Press said the same thing. They've been the best program since 1936. And obviously I'm doing it all time. Ohio State, I think what separates them is they have the consistency in coaches. And here's what I mean. Their last five coaches are going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got Woody Hayes, obviously, Earl Bruce, John Cooper, Jim Tressel. I'm not really counting the interim coach, Luke Fickell, that 1 year before he was there before Urban Meyer come in. So if you take out Luke Fickell, four out of the last five coaches are already in the College Football Hall of Fame. And if Urban Meyer could just win a few more games, he has a chance to make the College Football Hall of Fame. And you know I'm kidding. He's probably there now.
So
if you're a program out there and you want to move up the ladder, if you will, in the all-time rankings, the selection of your coach obviously makes all the difference.
Well, what an amazing program we've had today. Leroy, how do people get in contact with you? How do they get your book? Because your book is so interesting, because you know you have practically every college team ranked. I think, do you have the top 50 or top 100, or what do you have?
Great question. I have the top 32.
Top 32, okay.
To me, you have to win the championship at least twice to be in the conversation.
Okay.
But championships are not the end-all, be-all. Otherwise, we'd be talking about Princeton with 26, Yale with 18 championships, and they'd be the greatest.
Yeah.
But they're not relevant now. So,
okay. How do people get your book? How do they contact you?
Yeah, obviously it's on Amazon.com. You can also find my book on createspace.com. And then my website, if anybody wanted to shoot me an email or had more questions or wanted to have some fun and debate there, that'd be fine as well. My website is obviously www.greatestcollegefootballprogram.com.
greatestcollegefootballprogram.com. And Leroy Young, we're going to have you to pray in just a moment. And but I want to let both of you know how I appreciate having you on. And of course, Chuck Bowman, you've been on with me two or three times. And you know, I want you to pray for particularly these high school athletes, because I believe that the Holy Spirit desires to minister to them. And they leave high school going to college. I know they can bring a great witness. And you not only won national championships at Oklahoma University, but you also won a national championship as a coach at Northeastern Oklahoma, right?
Yes, in fact, we won two.
Oh, you won two. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I was there 5 years, and we won two of the national on JUCO championships in the first 3 years, and we sent some great players on to Division I schools and even some into the National Football League.
Yeah,
but that was a little school. It just was kind of like Notre Dame. I always compared us to Notre Dame as a football school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had great players. We had some very fine coaches, and luckily a president who loved football more than his Baptist church.
That is good. So football was
he had three loves in life: the Baptist church, Bud Wilkinson, and the game of football.
Oh wow.
And that was and of course I fit right in that mold.
That's great. Well, you've lived your life in sports, but I believe even greater than your national football championships as your director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And you served as director. Were you the founding director, or are you one of the founders?
Well, Bud Wilkinson introduced FCA to us my junior year at OU. That was 1956. Otto Graham, Doak Walker, and one of the old gas house St. Louis Cardinal guys, Pepper Martin, came to our football dorm and encouraged us to, you know, be involved in this new ministry called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And of course, having grown up in a really strong Christian home, I fit that mold really quickly. And I said, I might not ever have the influence as an All-American, but I could have an influence as a coach. And that's why one of the reasons why I coached. And during those 14 years I was coached, I saw hundreds of athletes and coaches come to know Christ through FCA.
Wow.
We'd take them to Estes Park, Colorado, every summer. Guys like Eddie Sutton, who I was a rookie coach with at, in Tulsa Central High School, he and his wife would, and my wife Betty would take busloads of kids from northeastern part of Oklahoma to Estes Park, and that's where we met, you know, people like Doak Walker again, and Roger Staubach, and Bart Starr, and of course Tom Landry. Those great men would come up there, and their influence was felt by thousands of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I felt like coaching days were over, I didn't want to chase college football all over the world, so I was asked if I would put organization skills to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Ministry. I was the first person to be hired in Oklahoma. And by the way, your audience needs to know that Oklahoma is the birthplace of FCA. This is where it all began.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we just finished celebrating 60 years of this ministry.
Oh, wow!
And we have 20 full-time staff people here in Oklahoma now, and the ministry is just flourishing. And God has honored it simply for the reason, I believe, is that we've stayed to our calling. We haven't tried to be anything but an influence. We haven't tried to be the church. We haven't. Our first purpose is to direct young men and women into the fellowship of the church.
Wow.
And I think God has honored that.
I believe that. How long were you the director of FCA?
31 years.
31 years. I congratulate you, Coach Chuck Bowman. It's great to have you on. I want you to say a prayer, and then Leroy can follow up with a prayer. We've made a commitment on BPN Radio that we won't talk about anything we can't pray about. We've only got about 4 minutes left. So, okay. Chuck, you lead the way, and then Leroy, you can conclude. Okay. Good to have Leroy Young, author, on with me today, and Coach Chuck Bowman. Leroy from Ohio and Oklahoma, and Chuck Bowman from Oklahoma. So go ahead and pray there, Chuck.
Okay. Our Father, we're thankful for this hour that we've had to discuss things that are important in our life. We know sports, and especially football, is important to a lot of people, but it's not the main thing. We're going to celebrate the main thing this weekend as we head toward churches to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Christ Jesus. And we just ask you to press upon each person listening today that they need to be in church Sunday. Not only Sunday, but every Sunday that comes. But this Sunday particular, because this is a day of celebration for all Christians. We're thankful for Dale's ministry, and now it's reached literally thousands of people. Encourage them, bless them, and kept them in the faith. Many of them are ill, many of them are disabled, many of them cannot go to church. So Dale's ministry reaches out to them as a pastor, and we're thankful for that. We ask you to bless our lives and our families' lives and forgive us of our many shortcomings this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, Leroy, yeah, we have about 60 seconds. You can pray.
Yeah, absolutely. God, again, just thank you so much for, God, who you are and all that you have done in our lives. We're just honored to be a part of your kingdom. And, Lord, I take a moment to lift up all the young men who might be listening now or who are a part of our influence. May they know and understand how great our God is. May they find the hope in Jesus Christ. May they find the understanding that God is good and that God cares and God wants to do some pretty awesome things in their life. Lord, I thank you for Dale, this ministry, Chuck. I'm honored to be on with them today, Lord, and we just give you all the praise and thank you for your leading and guiding. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I set myself in agreement with Coach Chuck Bowman and with Leroy Young concerning the spiritual awakening among the athletic world, high school and college and professional sports. I pray, Jesus, that you will be high and lifted up, and that these young men and young women will shine for you. And Lord, we know how influential athletes can be, and there's so many people that look up to them. And I know that there are many Christians in the athletic world, but I ask, Lord, for just a reviving of the atmosphere and of athletes everywhere. And I just believe, Lord, for another spiritual awakening, a revival in locker rooms all across America. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. Leroy Young and Coach Chuck Bowman, thanks for being on today. It's been great. Thank you guys for being on. God bless you. And as we continue down this journey, thank you for your influence. And thank you for listening on BPN Radio. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
The sunshine and the storm, and my dreams are set in stone, that someday I'll be who I wanna be. For now, I'll wait for the sun to shine again. Walls have stood and walls have fallen, but my heart seems to wait. For now, I'll sit at the end of the road, and for now, I'll wait at the end of the path. The brighter days.